Hey guys, coming up today on Sports Spectrum, Devon McDonald, longtime Notre Dame linebacker, NFL player, currently serving with Athletes in Action as an NFL chief of staff to their chaplains. Man, does this guy have stories. You want to talk about being recruited by Jimmy Johnson, being recruited by Lou Holtz, being cut in the NFL, the difference between Christ as Savior and Christ as Lord, and being baptized in Aeneas Williams's pool. Aeneas Williams, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. Devon McDonald has a ton of stories. He shares so many of them here today on the show. Can't wait for you to hear his story. First, I want to tell you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. It's not too late to order the Sports Spectrum magazine. It makes a great gift for those that you love this season as you're looking for something to get someone in your life. Maybe somebody that loves Jesus and loves sports. Maybe it's a child. You want to get them a gift and they love football, or they love basketball, or they love baseball, or they love Dude Perfect, who is on the cover of our current Sports Spectrum magazine. Well, you can do that right now by going to sportsspectrum.com. You can subscribe to a one-year or a two-year subscription. If you do a one-year subscription right now, we give you a 15% off subscription rate. 15% off. All you got to do is put in the code podcast15, podcast15. You can save 15% off the Sports Spectrum magazine. Faith-filled, family-friendly content from the world of sports. It's hard to find that in today's age. I mean, even if you go on some of the mainstream sports websites or read some of their content, it can be hard to decipher if that's okay for the kiddos. Well, the Sports Spectrum magazine, I promise you, is perfect for the kiddos. So subscribe today over at sportsspectrum.com. We also want to say thank you to our friends at Water Mission. You can go to watermission.org right now and learn more about this amazing Christian engineering ministry that is there to bring safe water and sanitation to people all around the world. You can sow into this ministry. It's a great ministry to partner with. We do here in our household in Connecticut. The Romanos believe in what Water Mission is about. So go check it out, watermission.org, and you can join their team. You can sow into this ministry, and you can believe that your money, that your donation, that your ministry seed, if you will, is going to give people the basic necessities of clean water and sanitation. There's so many around the world who don't even have clean water or sanitation, but you can know that Water Mission is coming from a Christian perspective. Their ultimate mission is to see the gospel go forth, the living water of Jesus go forth. So learn more now by going to watermission.org. Watermission.org. He is Devon McDonald, former Notre Dame linebacker, currently serving with Athletes in Action. It's great to have Devon here today on Sports Spectrum. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Jason, for having me today.
Absolutely. It's great to see you and great to talk with you. Let's start with Christ. I think that's the best place to always start when we're talking about our walks and talking about life and in general, and certainly the work that we're both in serving in ministry. But let's start with Jesus. Tell me about Jesus in the life of Devon McDonald.
Wow, Jesus in the life of Devon. Obviously, it's a work in progress and a work in progress.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I am undone while in the same time that the done one is in me. The finished work is being worked out in me. So it's a beautiful walk. Beautiful in respect to I'm realizing more how sinful, how wicked, wretched I am. And then I'm seeing how beautiful, how awesome, how caring, how loving my Savior is. So that's in a nutshell. Obviously, we can unpack that in so many different ways, but it is a beautiful, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes, and He is.
Yeah, you know,
do you think that's something as we've gotten older, we recognize that? I just turned 50 a little while ago. Do you think as we get older, you recognize that a little bit more, and when we're younger, we're a little blinded by it or naive to it?
Well, I would say, I like to say stage, not age.
Okay. I like it. Stage.
Yeah. Stage, not age.
This stage of life. How's that?
Yeah. Well, there's people 12 years old with on the stage. They have a comprehension and understanding for whatever happened in their life of Christ at this level. You know what I mean? And that's, I'm at some gigantic level, but at levels where people would have ascribed to somebody of age. You know what I mean? Because for whatever reason, God reveals himself and they are open to receive it. You know what I mean? So that's why I say it's more stage than age. You know, that the stage that I'm on right now, you know, to see how God is moving is a beautiful thing.
So when did Christ become Lord? Tell me about that moment, that time when you said yes to God.
Well, he first became Savior, then he became Lord. Because
and there is a difference. That's true. Yeah.
So I would say I grew up in church. Sort of, kind of, you know, went to church, drug problem, got my parents drug me to church, you know.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is, man, when I was in the NFL, coming to the NFL, I thought this, man, and it was kind of unspoken or spoken in some way. If you make a lot of money, you make a lot of money, you're rich, or, you know, you can buy what you want, you're going to be happy. So I internalized that. So that was part of my motivation to make it to the NFL, is that I want to live this type of happy, free life, like no problem life. And when I started, yes, I wasn't making millions, but certainly didn't have to worry about bills. You know, I could go buy what I want, get what I want. And I realized, wait a minute, I am not happy. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, I'm even more miserable now, because when I look around and guys making more money than me, we come in and what they're doing, complaining. Mm. You know, distraught. I mean, and it's like, okay, so something is not making sense here. So start drinking. You are drinking more, smoking more, you know, get with this girl, that girl, and so forth, thinking it must be that I'm not doing enough, because, you know, them guys, you know, that's doing a whole lot of it seem like they're having fun.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they just put it off like, oh man, this is so much fun. When the reality of it is they're only showing you the social media. This is our social media back in the days, right? They're only showing you the highlight. They're not showing you the low light. You know what I'm saying? You know, and so I just came to a place where I began to deal with this reality, like, man, this not doing it. You know, I win a national championship, Notre Dame. Yes. Now what?
Yeah.
Like, literally, now what? We won a championship. Whoopee-doo. What do we really want? My life hasn't changed. I'm still the same person. Oh, I got a ring now. Okay, what does that do for me? You know what I'm saying? And that's why I like to do a ministry called Now What? After you get what you think is going to make you so happy, now what?
Yeah.
Because the reality of it is, so I try to do more. And so I got cut from the Colts, my dream. What positioned me, what I thought was going to bring me all this glory is now taken away from me. So literally, it's the most devastating time in my life. It's like, why live now? I mean, what else do I have to live for? Because I was living for this thing and now it was taken from me. And I got cut, kept fighting, got picked up by the Cardinals. I was at the Colts, got picked up by the Cardinals. And when I got picked up, man, I tell people, it's the backside of the desert, you know? It's it's like God deal with people. He was trying to deal with me in Indianapolis, but he knew that me being around familiarity and people that's familiar with me would have brought me back. But when I went to Arizona, I was there by myself, basically. You know what I mean? And that's where that's where I met Jesus, man. Flying home on an airplane, contemplating suicide. Got in my SUV like Dion.
Yeah.
Like, he drove his vehicle over the hill. I thought about it, like, and then a voice said, just keep going, Devon. And I got to my apartment, opened the front door, man, threw my luggage on the ground. I just fell to my knees and began to just cry, man. And I know for certain, man, when you become real with God, then God, who is always real, will now appear real to you.
Wow. What a great story, Devon. Wow. Yeah. So what changes for you after that? Because so many people will come to a moment like you described. I have a moment like that as well in the back bedroom of my brother's house, right? And he's introducing me to Jesus. But then there's this life to live that is, I don't know, it brings more purpose. It brings more joy and peace. But you also got to be discipled, because it's one thing, like you said, to say Lord and to say Savior. So what was the process like after you walk back home and, you know, drop your luggage and fall on your knees?
Well, so after that, you know, I got baptized in Aeneas Williams pool. Aeneas Williams is a Hall of Famer now.
Of course.
A 10th round draft pick out of just a phenomenal story.
In his pool.
And so in his pool, man, at his house. And wow. An amazing story real quick. So
yeah,
when I went under the water, right, it was in October now. So, you know, when the sun goes down in Arizona, it takes about 50 degrees with it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it can become cold like right now, you know, not a few minutes later. It's like now.
Yes.
And so the water was cool, you know. And they said, man, when we put you under the water, him and his pastor, he said, man, the water became warm. Mm. And I was like, I remember that. I remember them looking at it because I would look at them. They look at it, saw a ghost. And I was like, well, I said, what's going on? They said, man, when we put you under, it became warm. So went into his house and you know, they was telling me like what the decision that you made and here is going forward. You have to be a disciple. And the first message that he taught at his house, man, the next week, we had Bible study each week. It was, have you counted the cost?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you counted the cost? And I thought I knew, but years later now I understand why God, that was the first, you know, teaching that, you know, that he had me to. So then I came back and I joined a church and being discipled that way. And then I started speaking into a ministry called Sports World. And in that ministry, I was able to connect with brothers that was able to help in my walk, in my transformation.
Did you know pretty quickly that you wanted to go into sports ministry and that was a direction God was pulling you towards?
No, man. It's ironic how that came about. So my brother also played in the NFL. My twin brother, right? He played at Cincinnati and Chicago Bears. Matter of fact, he was 54 before Urlacher.
Yep.
And so he went to a PAO conference.
How about that? Yeah.
Yes, Rico McDonald. So he saw Stephen Grant, who played with me at the Colts, and they saw each other. And he said, like, you know, he knew I was out of the league, and Steve knew I was out of the league. And he said, so what's your brother doing? He said, man, he's personal training, trying to get back into the league. He said, man, let me give him a call. And so when I connected with Steve, that's how we got started in a ministry called Sports World, because he was working in Sports World, but Steve Graham. But that's a PAO connection, man.
Yeah, that's a great connection. Now, Steve, my friend Derwin Gray, is that the naked preacher? Steve the naked preacher?
Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 Our stories are somewhat similar, man, because that's when I was in Arizona on my feast. That's who I thought about, man.
It was Derwin?
Yeah. So that's Stephen Grant, that naked preacher, man. Naked preacher.
Yeah. So Derwin Gray, for people listening who don't know, is a former NFL player who's a pastor out in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. And Derwin's been on this show multiple times, but such a great guy, and he has such a great influence and a great voice. And he's been at PAO and been a part of Sports Spectrum. But you and him were teammates, right? When you were at the Colts, he was there too.
When we were fourth round draft pick, like, so he was the first fourth rounder, and I was the second. So we were teammates for 3 years,
and special teams players together, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
How about that? That's great. I love the connections and the beautiful, I don't know.
Tapestry.
The tapestry that God weaves together in the different areas of life and football and ministry and sharing God's word. It's really cool, Devon. So let me ask you this, because when you were younger, it sounds like you went to church, you know, you got drugged to church because you grew up in Kingston, Jamaica, right? So the culture in Jamaica.
Well, I'm from Jamaica, not Kingston. I'm in Ocho Rios, by Ocho Rios.
Maybe born in Kingston. Maybe I saw Kingston somewhere on your bio.
I know they say that, and I think my brother is the one that said that, and then they put it to me too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, I got you.
We're from St. Mary, Jamaica.
Okay, so growing up, you were in Jamaica all the way until you got to Notre Dame. Does that sound right?
No. We're there until 11 years old.
11 years old. Okay. So you came to the States, you end up in Notre Dame. So where's football as a kid in terms of priority?
So football is our football. You know, you call it soccer, but we call it football. So that was our football. When we came here and I started watching this game, I was like, oh, that looked like rugby.
Yeah.
Until I saw this guy, one guy came and went boom and hit him. I was like, yeah, man. Yo.
That's my game.
I like that. Yeah. Because, you know, in rugby, there's some hitting, but not like, you know, like in football. And then soccer, you got slide tackle.
Yeah.
You know, we slide tackle. And so there's a roughness to it. But I took a liking to the hitting that was going on in American football.
So where'd you grow up in the U.S. from age 11 on?
In Paterson, New Jersey.
Paterson,
Yeah,
New
in
Jersey.
Paterson.
Oh, up here
Yes.
in the Northeast area. Okay.
Yep.
So Paterson, New Jersey, take me to high school years, recruiting. I'd love to know, by the way, the first time you met Lou Holtz, because I'm assuming he's the one that recruited you to Notre
Yeah,
Dame. So there's got to be a funny story there.
so the recruiter was amazing
Yes.
and dynamic in this respect, because my parents, they're not from here, so they really didn't know. Like, so
Yes.
when Jimmy Johnson came to our house, he was no big deal to my daddy. My daddy sat there and was, I mean, Jimmy Johnson and a bum on the street, or you know what I'm saying? It was like literally to see him. I mean, it meant nothing to him.
Wow.
Which, in a way, it's good. It's good, bad. You know what I'm saying? It's good because he's not esteeming him higher. It's bad because, I mean, this man potentially is offering us over $200,000 of money. You know what I'm saying?
Right, with as you're gonna get a
Yeah,
scholarship here, so.
and with an opportunity to make even more money. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So we had that experience. Lou Holtz, coming to my house. He came from a school. And funny story. So he, with my coach had all these film now, right? Because I had a good, pretty good senior year. My junior year, I had a pretty good junior year. So he's got all this film ready, and pop on the film, and I was playing left defensive end, and I ran on the right. I ran down. They had a sweep play going on the other side, and I ran it down, tackled the guy in the backfield on their sideline. And Lou Holtz said, cut off the film. I don't need to see anymore.
Wow. One
You
play he
know,
saw. He just saw one play.
just off of one, it's a hustle play. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not my play to make. You know what I'm saying? But
Yes.
just to be able to run it down and tackle the guy in the backfield on the other sideline, he was like, I mean, he saw enough. So yeah, the recruiting process was exciting because it gave me a chance to see the country. You know what I'm saying? I'm not from here.
Yeah.
So I was going places and seeing things that I was like, wow, you know. And ironically, man, I've been in 45 of the 50 states, man.
Wow.
You
Wow. How about
know,
that?
and I talked to most Americans who might have been to five or six, you know.
No, yeah, I think I've been to maybe half. I haven't even actually done the math. I need to sit down and do how many states I've been to. It's been a lot, but not 45, I can tell you that. That's amazing, Devon. So, what was that journey like acclimating yourself to Notre Dame? Because there's something special about Notre Dame. It's still that kind of prestigious school. When they're playing well, it's even better, right? When they're in the playoff.
I would say this, you know, coming to Notre Dame again, my first time seeing a Notre Dame football game from beginning to end was my freshman year first game.
Wow, is that right?
Yes,
So you never
because
went
when
during
I
the
was in high
recruiting.
school,
Yeah.
yeah, when I was being recruited, I got in Fort Fazio, God rest his soul. He would say, you know, make sure you watch us today. I turn it on, they're losing. I'm like, man, let me go watch Nebraska, Miami, Oklahoma, because that's who was winning back then. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's who you hear about. You wouldn't hear about Notre Dame, you know. And so, you know, because they were losing, I would watch these other teams. You know what I mean? So yeah, you're talking about the process. And so I, but my coach, my high school coach, man, I'm thankful. His name is Frank Bonadies. He said, his love and respect for Notre Dame, because I didn't know, but I noticed how he meant talked about Notre Dame, and then this one really did it. So my brother was being looked at by Pitt, University of Pitt, and so when we were out in public, and people says, oh, you guys are being looked at for college, yeah. They said, you know, ask my brother. So what do you think about going? He said Pitt. He said, so what do you think about going? I said Notre Dame. Man, nobody want to talk to my brother no more.
Yeah.
They all want to talk to me. You know what I'm saying? And I just realized, I just had to think through this. It's like, okay, there's a difference. There is a respect level and an affinity for Notre Dame than any other school. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, people would say, Notre Dame is looking at you? You know, almost in a way like, man, like that's way above you. So if they're looking at you, there must be something special about you. So it was great in that respect, man, to know that I was going to something that people fully respected.
Was there another school that was right there near Notre Dame that you were close to going to?
Yeah, it's called the U,
You,
Miami.
I'm familiar. So that's Jimmy Johnson, right?
Yes. So, quick story if you got time for it, man.
Of
So,
course, we got time.
I went down to take my visit, and at this point, when I went to my visit to Notre Dame, I told my coach, "That's it, I'm going to Notre Dame." He said, "Devon, you got to go to Miami." I said, "I'm going to Notre Dame. I don't have to go to. I don't want to go to Miami." You know? He said, "Listen, man, you got a free ticket in January to go down to Miami. Go to
True.
Miami."
Coming
So,
from Paterson, New
but
Jersey, right?
right, you know what I'm saying? It's cold. He said, "Man, go just take a free trip, go down there." So we're not there, mother. So my mother, Jimmy Johnson took my mother and him and his wife out to eat when I went out, doing the recruiting things. My mother came back that night and said, "You are cancel every other trip you have. You are coming to the University of Miami."
Wow. Wow.
I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "No, you are coming to Miami." I'm thinking she promised Jimmy Johnson that she was going to get me to come to Miami.
Yep.
And again, I love my mom, but man, I didn't eat, she didn't really cook for me. She cooked for the family, but she didn't really cook for me for about a week. You know what I'm saying?
When you chose Notre Dame. Oh,
Yeah,
man.
when I told her that it's still Notre Dame, you know?
What's really interesting, too, is if you had gone to Miami, Jimmy Johnson was gone maybe 2 years later to the NFL when he went to Dallas.
Yes,
And then you get to Notre
Erickson.
Dame and you're right. And Dennis Erickson was their coach, but you get to Notre Dame and your freshman year, your very first season, right? You won a national championship. So I feel like that's confirmation a little bit from even the guy that you may have not have trusted fully in at that point to say, you know, I think you
Yes.
chose the right place.
Yes. I mean, I look back and I see some choice I made, and I was like, I know that God's spirit was in there, even though I didn't fully recognize him. You know what I mean? So Catholic versus convict,
Yes.
fight in
Yeah.
the tunnel, all of that, right? I'm right there, man. And man, to see when we won the game and Jimmy Johnson, shedding little tears and things like that, and just to know that, man, I made the right choice, you know?
Wow, that's awesome. He is Devon McDonald, and he's joining us here on Sports Spectrum. You're working with Athletes in Action now, and I'd love to kind of pivot into that world. We talked a lot about
All right.
your college world, your pro world. I love the stories. You can share any story you want, by the way, on Sports Spectrum's podcast. But you got to where you are now, and the official title is Pro NFL Chief of Staff to Chaplaincy with Athletes in Action. Why don't we just start with that? Like, what is that role that you're in currently with AIA?
So it's a very unique role, man, and it's a God-given role because I've never been a chaplain. And
Never.
part of
That's
my
right.
responsibility is to
Wow.
help to oversee the chaplaincy. So, of course, there has to be buying in. We have a great leader, Mr. George and Sidney McGovern, just great, phenomenal leaders. But then again, who is this guy? We know he played in the NFL, but I mean, what qualifies him to help to lead us? And man, I know promotion comes not from the east or from the west, but it comes from God. And when God positions you, He does prepare you, He does anoint you, and He does establish you. And that's what we're experiencing over the last 3 years in this ministry, that we're able to, help, the reports that they have to send to us, expense reports, and we just support them prayerfully. And material wise and so forth, that they could go out and do a great job in ministering to the teams.
So if I had told you even 5 years ago that this role would be something because you said it's been 3 years. If I'd have told you
Yes.
five, six, forget even 20 years ago when you were playing or 30 years ago,
Yeah.
would you just laughed at me if I said this is a role that you're going to be stepping into?
Yeah, I would laugh at you, but man, I would say you're not the first.
Oh, wow.
Because, man, I mean, when I left the last company, Sports World, I went into insurance, which was good. I tell people, insurance, and it was straight commission. It put a lot of muscle in my hustle.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Straight commission.
Yeah.
And so, if somebody told me that, those many years ago, I'd be like, no, I mean, because that's nothing I was looking at. You know what I'm saying? That's absolutely nothing I was looking at. But I just believe God in his divine wisdom and understanding and who God is, he positions people in it. So even the last company that I was in, last ministry, I ended up being the president, which is a great, phenomenal story because I'm a natural born stutterer. You know, I stuttered so bad when I was younger. So to end up leading a speaking ministry, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And so I believe even in my leadership and what God helped me to walk through in that ministry now has helped me on this side now, because I'm working with guys who are older. With the last ministry, I work with people who are older. And trust me, I went through it, because here's a young 30-something-year-old boy, you know, leading men that has been doing this for 20-something, 30-something years, you know, like, who qualifies you? And so, you know, you learn. And so now, you know, in this ministry, I'm you know, even though I think I'm not qualified because I've never been a chaplain, there are certain skills that I've learned from the last ministry that has helped me to be successful in the ministry I'm now.
Wow, I love that. So you're kind of a chaplain to the chaplains, right? You're helping equip them and work with them and get them the resources and whatever it takes to help equip those NFL players that those chaplains are around every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing I'm learning about leadership, you know, real quick. So we took a test from the first time we came into the ministry, and my high was responsibility. And they said, did I know my score? And I said, no. They said, well, take it again. And when I took it again, my highest now is achiever.
Yeah.
Getting things done, you know? So I've made a transformation in my life personally in not just being responsible, but being somebody that get things done. And so that's one of the things that we, as we deal with the chaplains, is that, you know, that we are people that get things done. And part of getting things done is what Jesus said, right? Going to all the world and to make disciples.
Yeah.
And so with the team and so forth, that we are doing those duties that we've been set forth to do.
Yeah. It's such a great responsibility to use sports as a way to point people to the gospel. I love what we get to do at Sports Spectrum. I love what Athletes in Action is about, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA, Nation of Coaches, all of these wonderful ministries that have one goal and one desire, and that's to see people know the saving grace and the knowledge of Jesus, and make him Lord and make him Savior. And that's what's beautiful about what we get to do. I do have a question, though, about you, Devon, because I think you're pouring a lot into others and you're serving others and, you know, you're an achiever. But who pours into Devon McDonald spiritually right now?
Thank you for asking this question, man. Beautiful question, Jason. Because here it is. We're asking these chaplains to make disciples, right? Well, you have to be discipled. And so who pours into me? I have a pastor. However, I also have what I call a discipler, a mentor, right? Dr. Charles Weir. He was a pastor. Emeritus for Crossroad Bible College, who is now the College of Biblical Study based out of Houston, Texas. And so he is, and so we encourage this. We do a Bible study every Tuesday morning. We have people that come on there and they're older folks, but man, I'm challenging them. I'm saying, long as you're breathing. And I believe the cross is this, you know, it goes across and it goes up and down. Well, the up and down, I believe it's God.
Yeah.
But then, you know, a cross is that you need people to encourage and be encouraged by. But then the bottom part is you pouring out into people. Being poured into, you gotta have brothers on your level that can encourage you and challenge you. But then you have to be pouring out. And you know, I'm a Gideon, and one of the Gideon statistics we have is that only 5% of people in church are doing any evangelism, and even less than that is doing any discipling.
Wow.
So, yeah. So there is a great need. I mean, the need, and it's evident, right? I mean, why are churches losing members? Because there's no discipling going on. So that's a burden that God is putting on me to do the clarion call, discipleship. And so me to talk about discipline, I need to be discipled. And being discipled, man, it is a beautiful thing. So I'm speaking from experience that's needed. I don't care who you are. You a pastor, you should be pastored. You should be have somebody pastoring you. And it might not that somebody is speaking to your life, somebody that you get raw with. You can bring anything to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going through this with a couple guys, young guys at my church where we just meet every Saturday morning. Once a week, and we're going through Disciplines of a Godly Man book, and we're just kind of walking through the different disciplines. But my goodness, it's such a wonderful thing to watch those young guys kind of all of a sudden their eyes get a little bigger and they realize, wow, this is amazing. They're growing in their faith. And hopefully, when we're done with this section of discipleship, they're going to go on and disciple somebody else. That's the whole point of this discipleship model. The thing I struggle with. My pastor died about a year ago he was 67, just a great mentor, great man, loved Jesus. He died suddenly, had some medical issues and passed away. So I'm kind of in a void right now. I don't have that guy in my 60s and in their 70s. I'm 50, right? I want somebody in their 60s and their 70s to disciple me. And it's hard to find that. Have you seen that?
Well, let me ask you a question, though, because when we started out, I said it's stage, not age.
True. That's
so
true.
So I know you're saying you want somebody of this particular age.
Well, I think you're talking discipleship versus mentors. Like, I think maybe you're right. I could be discipled. I mean, my brother led me to Christ and has discipled me for many years, and he's 3 years mm-hmm. younger. So we're talking age versus stage. But I mm-hmm. think I'm talking stage, like someone that's 15 years ahead of me in life that can provide wisdom. Maybe that's not discipleship, but that's mentorship. Yeah. So maybe that's what I'm missing a little bit more. But the disciple, you're right. I mean, it doesn't have to be somebody that's older than me that can disciple me. That's for sure. And I'm not afraid to listen to people through that one. So
yeah,
that's good, man. Let me ask you this final question, Devon. This has been a wonderful conversation. What is God teaching you right now when you think about your life and where you are?
Okay, excellent question, man. You know, when we talk about the aspect of discipleship, it's where I'm at. That, you know, I'm challenged that way because I believe that's a deficit that was in my life. And now that I've received it and walking in it, it is so fulfilling. It's unbelievable, man. It's protection. It's to know that I am accountable. You know what I'm saying? I'm making myself accountable. God won't make you accountable. You have to choose to make yourself accountable. And in that accountability, because it's hard to say you love God or you respect God and you don't respect. It's hard to say, you know, you're open to the things of God, but you won't allow people to be able to look into your life, you know? And so what God, you know, that's the thing that God did important in me and I'm speaking to me is that discipleship. You know, going to all the world and make disciples. It was not a suggestion. You know, Matthew 28, it's a command. And in our ministry, with Athletes in Action, that's one of the things that we talked about. is to go forth and speak forth the word and to make disciples.
Yeah, it's the model that Jesus prepared for us. Disciples making disciples, making disciples, making disciples. And you and I are standing here because somebody discipled us, because somebody walked with us and somebody helped us grow. And hopefully there'll be some people out there that come from you and I discipling them and those people discipling. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing when you think about it. And it's really simple. It's not complicated. It's just we make it so complicated, don't we?
Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, right? I mean, it's light and it's easy in Christ, though. And because there's only two things, and to answer your question, because I was thinking, yeah, God, there's two things that we know for certain that's eternal. It's the word of God and men's souls. Mm. And the word of God, Jesus, came to save men's souls. And when I'm every day focused on those two entities, when I major in the word of God and I minor in the souls of men, I'm living that eternal life.
Yeah.
I'm in the word and I'm about men's souls. And if I stay that mindful, then I could say life is it will seem difficult from the outside, but from the inside out, living it, it would be like Stephen when they stoned him. He just looked up, and it was no fight because he's already surrendered.
Yeah, majoring in the Word of God, minoring in souls, and a degree in salvation. How's that? PhD Ooh. In salvation.
Yeah, I like that piece. Yeah, I like that piece.
All right, Devon. Listen, this has been a really wonderful conversation. I really enjoy getting to know you and talk to you, Devon McDonald. All the best to you. Congrats on a wonderful life that you've lived so far, and can't wait to see what God continues to do
Praise God.
On your journey. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. God bless, man.
And many thanks to Devon McDonald for being here today on Sports Spectrum. What a great guy he is. And I really love talking to him about his journey of football. I love his stories. We talked about Jesus, obviously, a lot. I loved what he said about Christ as Lord versus Christ as just Savior. Love the recruiting stories with Jimmy Johnson and Lou Holtz. How about being baptized in Aeneas Williams's pool and that being a pivotal moment? He was only in Arizona for 1 year with the Cardinals, and yet that year, he surrenders his life to Jesus. He gives his life to God. He gets baptized in a Pro Football Hall of Famers pool, and he goes on to now do amazing things in ministry and certainly serving with Athletes in Action as their pro NFL chief of staff to chaplaincy and chaplains with Athletes in Action. You can learn more. Go to AIA.org and learn more about Athletes in Action. They have such a great ministry. We believe in what Athletes in Action is about, and they're there, right, serving both in the pro space with the chaplains. They're there for college students. I mean, they're all over the place, and the work that they do is super important. We believe in Athletes in Action as great partners, so go check them out, and check out Devon McDonald and his story as well. If you want to learn a little more, you can just Google Devon McDonald. But I loved what he had to say about discipleship at the end, and I think that's really it. That's what we want to be able to provide here at Sports Spectrum. Obviously, we believe start with the gospel, right? Start with Jesus. Invite him into your life, receive him as Lord, receive him as Savior, begin a relationship with Jesus, but then discipleship, right? Being discipled. There are great ways to be discipled in a few different ways, right? Obviously, getting God's word, find someone that you can be discipled by, find someone that will pour into your life and help you grow in your walk with Jesus. And if there's any resources that Sports Spectrum can provide, you know, this podcast or our website or our magazine, go check out sportspectrum.com. There's tons of free content there that could help you on your discipleship journey. But get discipled. If you're a believer in Jesus and you are not being discipled, I promise you, you're missing out because we're never fully there, right? Like what Devon said, we are never fully there until we leave this earth and go see Jesus. So continue to be discipled. That's my encouragement for you all today. Again, check out sportspectrum.com for all of our content. Maybe tell someone about this episode, subscribe and follow the Sports Spectrum podcast on whatever app you listen to podcasts on. And then join us next time for another conversation right here on Sports Spectrum. We are the intersection of sports and faith. We'll see you next time right here on the show.